And in 59, my brother called me. The club that he had in Oklahoma City was directly across the street from the state capitol. And he said, if you'll come back, you can take the club and do whatever you want to with it. Oklahoma had voted legal liquor. That's why he called me. Not liquor by the drink, just legal liquor in liquor stores. I came back, took the club and remodeled it, changed it and named it Shangri-La. And it was a private club. Prior to that, the Jamboree became a private club too. I was doing very well and enjoying it. And the governor, who was J. Howard Edmondson, decided that they were going to build some new office buildings across the street, just north side of the Capitol. They condemned everything by eminent domain in a four-block area, square four blocks, that took the club, the restaurant where I was, and my house. I had a house in that area to build those two new Capitol office buildings right where the Will Rogers and the Sequoia buildings are now. That was the very spot where I was in that Sequoia building. But it was probably the biggest break of my life because it sent me to Tulsa.
Why did you go to Tulsa?
Well, I had bought a liquor store over here, and I had a little restaurant on 11th Street next to the liquor store, directly across the street from where TU, University of Tulsa, is. Now that location is a Arby's. They bought the property.
What was the name of it?
The liquor store was Stadium Liquor. The restaurant, when I moved over here, was Sussie's Pizza.
You had purchased this liquor store in Tulsa.
Yes, I was living in Oklahoma City. I wasn't running it. I had a lady running it.
And then the pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you have that?
A few years. I had a partner in there, and he ran it. We changed the restaurant, made the library restaurant out of it. It did very well. Did fine. We eventually sold it. But I was in the liquor store in 62. And a man that later became a very dear friend and partner was a liquor wholesale salesman. Came in and we greeted each other. I really didn't know him. He didn't know me. And he was telling me about a little club out east of town. Well, remember, we were at 11th and College. He said it was really a cute place. And he was very complimentary about it. And he asked me if I would like to go out and see it. And I said, yeah, I'd go out. I'm not doing anything. There was a little bar half the size of my present lounge, and they had no food. It was just a bar. It was a private club. Two men, the second man was running, had been open less than a year. He was losing money. The first man went broke. The third man came in after that. Well, they had called and asked if I'd be interested in leasing it, and I said, no, I wouldn't. They told me what they wanted. Later, a man called me and said he would like to sell me, the Celebrity Club. The name of it was the Celebrity Club, and I kept it. I asked what he wanted, and he told me, and he said he would carry it. I knew nothing about Tulsa then, so I called a friend of mine who lived here and knew the city, asked him if he thought that was a good deal. He said, yeah, if you think he can make it. And I said, I can make it. Three people had already gone broke in 1 year in here, maybe a little over a year.
You're talking about this location?
This location, 31st and Yale. This friend of mine, when he told me about this little club, I said, where is it? He kept saying, east of town, way east of town. Finally, I said, well, where east of town? He says, way out there, 31st and Yale. Which way out? It's a two-lane street here. Well, I ended up buying the little bar, had no food, and business was good, very good. I took over on February the 18th, 1963. Incidentally, that was the same night that a disc jockey, a very well-known disc jockey that used to be with you, Johnny Martin.
And KRMG.
KRMG. That was the night he started his show on the radio, which was big band music. Great disc jockey, wonderful music. Every year on February the 18th, as long as he had that show, he would call and dedicate the night to me.
Because you both had started.
On that very same day.
In 63... You just had a bar here.
That's it. I put in food very shortly, within a matter of months. It was very small kitchen, very small room, you know, the lounge. The food was good. We did well with it and then decided within a year to build on. The property included a building on my north side that had to be destroyed. It was so bad. a big hole in the roof. You could see the sky from there. Yeah, several other things. But anyway, we built onto it. This was a private club, and it's continued to be a private club for many, many years, up until the time we got legal liquor.
How was liquor sold in 63 when you started?
One would bring their bottle in. We would put their name on it, and we would serve drinks out of their bottle, and they paid for the service and the setup.
Known as liquor by the drink.
Liquor by the wink, they called it then. It was not legal liquor by the drink. As far as I'm concerned, there was never any legal liquor by the drink until we got the laws passed.
That's true. It wasn't known as liquor by the drink. It was liquor by the wink, right?
Mm-hmm.
You referred earlier to legal liquor.
Legal liquor was voted in Oklahoma in 1959. That was what brought me back from Joplin, Missouri, to Oklahoma City again.
So legal liquor, we go to liquor by the wink.
Mm-hmm. There would be many, many clubs and restaurants. And to say that they adhered to the law of having to bring your bottle in wasn't so.
How did they get around that?
The most common way was they were all private clubs. All of the operations, or unless it was a restaurant that had a bar, they would put names on bottles, whether it belonged to them or not, and they'd say, this is out of your bottle, but they would actually be selling you a drink out of their own bottle, I mean out of the house's bottle.
So there were many raids on these clubs
yes,
by the Liquor
was.
Commission.
Yes, there was.
Were you ever raided?
No. I was very fortunate. We operated pretty tight. You know, someone walking off the street, we wouldn't serve them.
But you had them come in and investigate you, probably.
Oh, yes. Guess. Yes, they have. They came in once. They were upset because they couldn't find anything wrong. So the arresting officer said, well, we're going to cite you. I said, for what? He said, improper display of a club license. I had in the office, and they said, see, it says on here, must be posted in a conspicuous place. It was such a minor charge that the chief of police called me and says, put that thing up on the wall, put a ribbon on it, do anything. It was really irritating. It got a lot of notoriety and publicity, but that was it.
We operated that way in Oklahoma for many years.
Many years. Many places would get raided regularly, and they just figured that as part of the operating expense. We enjoyed a nice business. Our strong suit become food. We had a very limited menu, but whatever we had, it was very good.
What items were on the menu?
Steaks, fried chicken. Fried chicken is still a very popular thing. So are steaks and lobster tails. The chicken is cooked in a heavy cast iron skillet. It still is, just like your mother, your grandmother used to cook it. There were no tricks, no secret seasoning. It was just good, good cooking. The lobster tails are cold water tails. I started with those and still do cold water lobster tails. They're marvelous. They're wonderful.